Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Many, many ways to bring your Penn State football news. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith with Greg Pickle. This show is all about recruiting, and it's all about Greg, really.
Yes.
We're going to start here in just a moment with our series on recruiting trends, really just looking about back to when James Franklin arrived at Penn State in 2014 to now, how they've approached these different positions, where they're going, what they're looking for, and where they're going in 2019 and beyond.
Yep.
Cornerback is the subject this week. We're going to look at the 2019 recruiting class a little closer. I think it's a really good time to do it because you're going to start to see some things in motion with a big-time month when it comes to visits. And you're going to start to see some more actions. Two Penn State commits so far. Maybe we'll see more. We'll certainly see a lot more names, a lot more prospects coming through campus. So what we're going to do is, on offense and defense, Greg's most important 2019 targets. Let's look at – I think we'll end up with 10 names to circle. There might – if they're going to add 10 players, there's not going to be a whole lot more room beyond that anyway. So this is going to be Greg's breakdown of top 2019 targets, and then we'll finish up the show with Ask Greg, which are Penn State football and often Penn State recruiting questions from you guys. So we'll circle the whole way back there. We'll get started here, Greg, with the cornerback position, and it's a position that Penn State felt so good about, and for really a couple years here where Penn State's felt so good that they've moved guys from cornerback to safety. Lamont Wade, most recently, a couple months ago, moving to safety to try to shore up that spot. They feel good about their depth. I also think when it comes – I think there are different little avenues that James Franklin views as flexible spots, and cornerbacks to safeties is one of the most flexible spots on Penn State's roster. They do it again with Lamont Wade.
Yeah, so who's the third corner, I guess, is my question. At this point in time, I know we're going to talk about more how we got to this point, but so you move Wade. So who's your third corner? Who's your nickel corner? That's what they have to figure out now. Is it Zach McPherson? Does Trent Gordon make a run to play early? Jabari Butler's a guy that transferred in last year with tremendous speed. Does he have a role at all? I mean, I think there's a lot to unpack here as it relates to this position group. You have your stalwarts in John Reed and Imani Oruorie, and they're two different guys. Imani's 6'1", very long, almost like Christian Campbell. John Reed fits more of that Grant Haley model where he's 5'10", 190, and he's going to be very technically sound, do everything right. Maybe not be a turnover machine, but be in the right position to maybe pick a ball or two off this season. So you have your starters. There's no question about that. I'm just curious what they do when it comes to the third corner and the nickel corner. They'll have some options, whether they move Wade down and bring in another safety, whether they use one of their safeties as a nickel guy, whether they use one of their corners, obviously, as a nickel guy. So there's a lot to figure out for Brent Pry, for Tim Banks, for Terry Smith. They do not lack options, though. It's one thing that's quite clear.
Well, it seems to me, until I'm told otherwise, that your three corners are going to be pretty much set. I'm going to believe that Oruorie is going to be your starter for experience alone. But the fact that Tariq Castro-Fields showed so much in such a short amount of time
he's
as a true freshman,
your third, yeah.
I think he's probably your number three with the ability, maybe by season's end, to push beyond that because I think his ceiling is tremendous. But to me, it felt like moving Lamont Wade was not just a testament to Tariq Castro-Fields, but maybe a testament to Zach McPherson too. Like he was maybe on the verge of being able to step into a bigger role. And moving Lamont Wade essentially clears the road for McPherson to jump in there and have a role too. I know they've spoken highly of him. I really liked him as a high school prospect too. I think they've got a good mix of guys. And the nickel cornerback thing is interesting because anytime you move a guy who is talented enough to play in coverage as a cornerback, Lamont Wade, speaking about him, it affords you the option of moving him down and playing more of a coverage role. I think it would also be interesting to move John Reed inside and have Owerwarie. You have your two big, your big corners on the outside in some situations. Brent Pry is armed with options, though, is the thing.
Yeah, more so than he's probably ever had at Penn State. So you look at how they got to this point, and Castro Fields was a late get. Lamont Wade was a fight to the finish. I mean, they've won some pretty significant recruiting battles. They had John Reed suffer an injury that kept him out all of last year, brings him back this year. Owerwarie has been working quite a bit and a lot behind Christian Campbell, Grant Haley, and John Reed the last few years. He finally gets his shot. So one thing I think that's interesting, though, is that you look at Owerwarie, he's 6'1", John Reed, like we said, 5'10". And then at one point, it seemed like Penn State was really going to aim for this longer corner. And Castro Fields is that at 6'1", 185. But for the most part, you're looking at corners that are 5'9", 5'10". I mean, these are not all bigger guys. And at one point, it seemed like Penn State was going to go only that direction. And I think they probably found that the player pool was not quite as deep as they would like it to be with that group. So now you have a little bit of a grab bag. But Penn State will always prefer the longer corners if they can get them.
Well, it's interesting how things have evolved a little bit, because a couple of years ago, you know, I was really, my thought process, and I think we talked about it here, and probably, I think I probably wrote something to this effect, that Penn State was really not valuing length at the cornerback position.
Right.
But then you go 2 years in a row where you're pulling guys who are 6 feet or taller, looking at the 17 class with three Castro Fields, you saw the field right away. Owerwarie, Christian Campbell was long. They have some of these long guys, and Jordan Miner in the 18 class, too. And in a few of these classes, they've paired the long guy with the short guy, and they've gotten a mix of guys who are, you know, the shorter guys who are just very sticky in coverage, and the longer guys who are more the present and the future of college and pro football. They've gotten a little bit of everything, and it's created this mix here where you're probably, you know, John Reed is in the short camp. DJ Brown is in the short camp. Grant Haley was in the short camp. Lamont Wade was too before he moved. So I think they don't really have a type when it comes to recruiting. I think if they'll look for and identify a guy with talent and skills, and if that guy's 6'1", it seems like they're it seems more than coincidental that they're not going to just take 3 6'1" corners in a class. I mean, I think they might if they had the opportunity to, but they're just as often going to mix and match and have different types of cornerbacks in play, so they always have a mix of skills for the competition and maybe for deployment by Brent Pry, too.
Exactly right. So, yeah, I think that Penn State will mix and match guys maybe more so this year than last year. It's not to say that John Reed and Imani Owerwarie won't play, you know, the 90 to 95% of the snaps that the starting corners that have come before them have, but I think you'll just see Penn State have a little bit more options when it comes to what it wants to do, because, again, Lamont Wade has experience at both. Tariq Castro Fields is going to see his fair share of reps, and they have some young guys fighting for spots too. So it will not be a lack of guys to go around in the corners room. It's almost like the receivers group at this point.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking some recruiting here for Penn State. Continue our series on recruiting trends and what Penn State's looking for. The cornerback position is what we're discussing now. It's one of the more interesting positions, and I think it's a interesting time too, because Christian Campbell, let's look back at his recruitment. Not a highly regarded player at all. He committed and signed with Penn State without ever seeing the campus. Penn State was not exactly battling college football superpowers for the right to Christian Campbell, but I think what they did was take a player who was long and who had maybe some solid fundamental skills, and I think over the years, I think they created value with him. You look at what he's done testing wise under Dwight Gault. It inspires confidence that they can, you know, I think there's three components to keeping a college football program running from a personnel standpoint.
Right.
Number one is evaluation. I wasn't sure if these guys could, how well they evaluated. You had to establish a little bit of recent history in order to tell that. Development is another big part that I wasn't sure either.
Right.
And then obviously the recruit them.
Right.
So I think they've put all these pieces together, and development was one of the missing pieces of the puzzle because we didn't know. I think they've proven in a lot of different positions that they can develop players as well as anybody, and Christian Campbell is a good example of that.
Yeah, Terry Smith may be one of the more underrated coaches on this staff. He's really developed guys well since they got to campus. He does a boatload of recruiting work. People forget to use the defensive recruiting coordinator. I think he still has that title, right? So they did a whole bunch of shuffling when it comes to titles, but I'm pretty sure he still owns that title. And
Greg's going to do the talk and search thing.
You got that right. But either way, I mean, he is all over the map, whether it's Massachusetts, whether it's Florida, whether it's Texas. I mean, he recruits all over the country. He still does have that title. Yes, he's the assistant head coach. I mean, he's a busy guy on James Franklin's staff, but development has not been lost in that puzzle, and you've seen Penn State really take some positive steps because of it in a lot of places like Texas where maybe they haven't in the past.
You mentioned a guy here, speaking of development in the early stages, Trent Gordon, a kid from Texas, a three-star. And so because of how good Penn State's 2018 class was, he was without a doubt under the radar. But they've said some really good things about him. And I would add, you know, it goes back to Christian Campbell's another good example that Penn State's got some history now of turning these three stars you sleep on at cornerback into really good players. And Trent Gordon is showing a little bit of maybe he's one of the next guys there.
I think there's certainly a chance of that. And look, we've talked about it at other positions. There's no reason that all, six of the early enrollees can't play this year. I mean, I think Penn State will ultimately decide to sit two of the three linebackers, or at least one of the three, when it comes to Jesse Lucada, Nick Tarburton, and Micah Parsons. Tight end, you just don't know. Those guys might be the best options, Zach Kuntz and Pat Freiermuth, even though they are true freshmen that just got on campus, Kuntz in January and Freiermuth in June. And then, Isaiah Humphries and Trent Gordon. Those two guys could certainly see the field as well. So, you really look at it and say, okay, maybe these guys can make an immediate impact. Now, will they? I don't know. I mean, it's obviously a lot to figure out, to balance the college and all that kind of stuff, but it certainly can't be ruled out.
I think with the cornerback, it's interesting where all these guys who arrive, the positions that they play, and Penn State's needs there. It coincides really well that these guys who are talented and who are just arriving in January are arriving at positions that they could use an extra body. Cornerback is interesting. You have your four, which I think are pretty clear cut. But after that, if something happens, if an injury happens, if there's an emergency, whatever, you could have a guy like Trent Gordon. The other guy I would throw in that boat, DJ Brown, who was a three-star from Georgia. I think a good comparison would be Grant Haley, a guy who's not highly regarded either. You got a couple nice options here. And Jordan Minor, who knows? Stuart Castillo-Fields did it as a June arrival as a long cornerback. Jordan Minor reminds me a little bit of Tariq Castro-Fields with that length and speed combination. Maybe he can do it too. There could be an opportunity here for a young cornerback.
Yeah, I agree with that. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But like we said, there's no lack of competition at this point in time.
All right, we're going to move from looking at the present, which is Penn State in 2018, the cornerback and how they've recruited that position. We're looking ahead now. We're looking at offense on that side of the ball, Greg's top 2019 targets. Stay tuned. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-LONG.